their understanding of it is very limited for some of them. Even very, very young to infants have a sense that they can pick up on the stress of their parents and that there's something different and that the routine has changed. And it's very important that all kids, to the best of their ability, have some understanding. And I think to answer your question, it's not something that you do in one big talk. I think I was on a couple of weeks ago and I talked to parents about how to explain this to your child and that coronavirus was a certain kind of germ. Now, that's not a conversation you can have once because it's in the news every day. It's in on social media. If they're talking to their friends are talking about it. It's in their face. And so we have to sort of keep having that conversation with kids and explain to them whatever the current issue is to the best of their ability. With really young kids, with children who are, you know, before school years, you can keep it very simple and just be very factual. And the most important thing in talking to those kids in particular is not the words that you say, but how you say them. If you can say them to them in a nice, calm voice, if you can explain it to them by comparing it to something that they know, you can say something like, remember the time that your friend was sick and she had to stay home for a few days until she got better. It's kind of like that, but more people are being sick, you know. So use the language that they're comfortable with, but pay really close attention to your tone of voice, to whether your body is sort of relaxed when you're saying it to them, your facial expressions, don't look too worried. But you have to look serious because you want to make sure that they're taking all these precautions on board.
But you shouldn't roar, hey, you wash your hands, without explaining why you should wash
no.
your hands.
And in terms of roaring, I think that's a really good point across the board because one of the things that happens to kids when they are so out of their routine is sometimes they get a little bit boisterous, or they get they can get angry easier, or they can get start arguing with each other or arguing with you. I think it's really important that when that happens that you don't get mad, that you don't start yelling at them, that you don't start, you know, laying down the law. I think that you need to respond to them by offering warmth and empathy and say, I know this is so hard for us right now. We'll all get through it together. And then maybe try to distract them into something else. But if they're getting angry and snippy, which they will be, they'll be grouchy, if you respond with more of the same, that's just going to set them up even more.
Okay, and building, I suppose, because there are so many little things we all have to do now in terms of the social distancing and the washing of hands and using the alcohol rub and so forth, building reminders about safe behaviour into your day is a tip you have as well for parents. How would you do that?
Well, there's several ways to do that. I think that most parents now of school-age kids, where they're home and they're you know, it's a very unusual thing. I think by this time, most parents have built some kind of a routine into their day where, you know, they get up at a certain time, they have breakfast, then they might do a little bit of work or they might do a game or something. And having some kind of a schedule can be really helpful for kids in so many ways, and I hope most parents are taking that on board now, because if you just leave their days empty and free, it's much harder for them to fill up. They're more likely to get bored. So if you have some kind of a schedule where, say, from 9:30 to 10:30, you're doing something. If you can build into before and after every activity, if you can build in hand washing, that can be really, really good because, first of all, you make sure that it gets done and that you're all getting into the habit of doing that hand washing on a regular basis. But also it's giving the kids a message that there's something they have control over, that even though they can't go to school and they can't go swimming and they can't do these other things, there's something that they can do. And build in that sense of we're all in this together. Okay, we're all doing our best to fight the virus. The way we're going to do that is we're going to wash our hands, you know. And it gives them, it's a lot easier for people to focus on what they can do about something than the things that are out of their control.
And one of the tips you have here as well, it's so obvious, but I guarantee you when people hear it, they won't realize the importance of it, the importance of having your GP's phone number to hand.
You need to have it somewhere really visible, because if you need it, you're going to need it quickly and you're not going to have time to look for it in your wallet or try to figure out what you listed it under on your phone. You need to have your GP's number and the Shannon Doc number up on a wall on your fridge someplace, because when you need it, you're going to need it now. And I don't want to scare anybody. You know, most of us won't need that. But I think that to think about the things that, if things happen, they will happen quickly, and you need to have things prepared so that you know what to do and you know how to act.
Just to be organized, have the GP number or Shannon Doc number up on the fridge. It may happen as well, Toby, that someone in the family might have to be tested. How do you explain to a child that somebody is going for testing or for swabbing? Because they're going to hear about it on the news anyway.
Yeah, I think that it's something that maybe parents haven't thought about. But I think that because so many of us, we now know that lots of us are going to be in a situation where we have to get tested. And some of us have kids who will have to get tested. And I think that the kids hear about testing in the news, but they don't know what it is. They don't know what it means. They don't know, does it mean that you're going to have to, does it mean you're going to get sick? Does it mean you are sick? And I think that now is a good time to start to have conversations with your kids about what that means. So you can just start out by asking them if they've heard about testing and do they know what it is. And just provide information like who gets tested. And now we know that changes, you know, from time to time. But at the moment, people get tested if they've been near somebody who was sick, and if they have a fever and a cough, you know. And so why is it? It's so that we can find out ahead of time if somebody gets sick so that we can help them get better. And then it's also probably important for them to know a little bit about what that looks like. So there are, you know, get the information, find out what happens. We know that there's a swab test. We know that you have to go to, you know, where the places are where the testing gets done. And even for younger kids, if you could show them, not videos, but still pictures of those tents that they have set up, so that they have it in their mind ahead of time, and it's not like they're going into a strange universe if that happens.
Of course.
But having kids have kind of a sense of what happens, and that it's normal, that it's nothing to worry about, it'll only take a few minutes, there'll be people dressed in funny clothes, you know, and that's to keep them from getting too close to people who do get the sickness. They need to just have some idea of what it's going to be like in case they go there.
Of course, that's explaining to them about the testing, but what if someone in the family then is confirmed? And of course, we've made the point repeatedly on the programme, and we continue to do so. Many people will have had this virus, it will have passed, and they mightn't have known. They probably knew they had a bit of a cough or a flu or a cold, whatever it was. It will have passed. Some people will end up in hospital and will make full recovery. Other people are more vulnerable. But how do you explain to a child then that, you know, if someone has, they can be quite sick or they can be mildly sick?
Yeah, I think that, again, because we are all at risk and because some of us will end up in hospital, it's probably important to talk to kids, again, in a gentle, non-scary way about what happens if someone gets sick. And most kids know someone, whether a family member or a friend, who has gone to hospital. And some of those kids know that person got better and came home. And some kids might be even more worried because maybe their relative didn't get better and didn't come home. You know, so based on the experience of your child, find out. I would always start out by asking them, you know, what they think about it, and what do they think about people who have to go to the hospital, and do they think that's a good thing, and is there anything they're worried about? Talk to them as much as you can and find out what their understanding is and what their story is, and answer their specific questions. If they know that their granny went to the hospital and didn't come home, then you need to say, well, that was because granny had an operation and the doctors couldn't fix her. But that coronavirus is different, that most people who have coronavirus do okay. But the other thing I think that's important to be thinking about for yourself and then to communicate in some way to your kids is, if you have to go to hospital, who's going to be looking after them? Because your kids need to know that is very unlikely that you'll have to go to the hospital. But if you do, it's okay, because that means you'll get help. And also, your auntie Susie is gonna come over and look after you, you know. So
very good.
So make sure that they have a sense of security, because when a parent goes to the hospital, the kid's biggest worry is what's going to happen to me. And that sounds cold, but they are genuinely afraid for their parents, and they do love their parent, but they also have an insecurity about what's going to happen to me.
What,
so make sure they know there's a plan.
Yes, and Toby, what about the importance of having a daily routine at home, particularly when people are going to be housebound, are housebound, may not be able to go outside at all if they're self-isolating, may be able to go for a walk, but if you're going to be cooped up in the house with a few kids, parents, of course, have to keep control. How important is it then for the family to have a daily routine?
It's probably the number one piece of advice that psychologists have for parents in this situation. And the reason for that is because routine is what gives children a sense of security. Routine gives them a sense of that everything is under control, that I know what's going to happen. It puts predictability in their life, and it makes them feel much more secure. So to the greatest extent possible, try to have your morning routine be the same as it ever was, where you get up, you do your showering, and you have your breakfast, and you get dressed. So try to keep your morning routine and your evening routine the same as they were. And then for the period in the middle, it's really great to have it written down so that everybody knows what's going to happen. And to have a combination of activities. So, for example, you might want to include, some parents do it, hour by hour, 9 to 10, 10 to 11. Some people arrange it around lunch times and break times. But however you break it up, make sure that you have a variety of things going on. So, for example, some of the things in your day should be physical. They should be strenuous things. And if you can get out in the yard and throw a ball or jump on a trampoline, that's great. But anything physical, even if it's carrying, you know, big tins of paint from one part of the house to another part of the house. And then you should also then have restful breaks in there. So some of it should be physical and strenuous. Some of it should be relaxed and restful. You should have some really familiar activities that you know your kids know how to do. But at these times, it's really important to have new activities, things that they've never tried before, because they have so little stuff coming into them from the world. Everything is in your house. So you're the only person who can introduce new interesting activities to them. And the routine should be structured. It should follow a definite timetable, but there needs to be flexibility within that, where maybe on Mondays from 10 to 11 you're playing card games, but on Tuesdays you're doing magic tricks, you know.
Yes.
So those are just some of the...
And of course, Google or any other search engine is your friend. You'll find out loads of other activities online if you're getting a small bit dumped. And of course, people, keeping in touch, of course. And I know you've spoken to Gavin, and we've spoken on the program before about screen time and people being on iPads and so forth. But it's probably a good thing now, because with the various apps, you can actually have, almost one-to-one interaction over the internet with grandparents or with people that you haven't
Absolutely,
seen or won't
yeah.
see. For a while. That's probably one of the good things about screen time. Before we wrap it up, so Dr. Toby, at the very end there, we have one very important one, and it's going to happen in every household. If people are cooped up for so long, when the kids get grouchy and they start arguing, the very important advice to parents.
Yeah, and it's very important that you understand that is normal behavior, that is not intentional, that is not your child trying to make trouble. It's very normal for people to get grouchy and argue and start bickering with each other. Don't be punitive about that. Don't yell at them about that. Instead of that, offer them empathy. Say, oh, I can see this is so hard on you guys. Come here, let me have a big hug. You know, and really try to reach out with warmth and understanding, as opposed to trying to clamp down on that stuff.
Okay, finally, because I've gotten a text in, all that advice is great, but what if parents are trying to work as well, and we have a situation where some people are still able to work and go to work, so there might be only one parent at home, more pressure, of course.
It's very challenging. There's no way around that. You know, there's no way around that. I think that if that's the case, then a routine is even more important for you, because you can build into your routine times that the kids are doing things independently, and that might be a time for the parent to do some of the other things they need to do. So when you're building, when you're writing up your timetable of your day, make sure that you meet the needs of all of the members of the family who are home, not only the kids. You've got to build in time for yourself as well. And don't forget about self-care. You need to be looking after yourself. You need to be eating right, sleeping right, getting a little bit of exercise, having social contact, because if you fall apart, there's nobody there to pick up the pieces.